Hey gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the day after Thanksgiving leftovers of free speech, because you know, the day after Thanksgiving, you've still got a lot of food left over, and you just, you know, depending on what's left over, that's what you're gonna have. You're gonna have what's left over. And they've taken away our free speech, but we got something left over. It's here on RBN. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send the fundage. Okay, and this is leftovers. So we're going to start with, there was about 9 minutes that was left over from Paul Stephenson's show that we recorded on Sunday. I don't know why we recorded 9 minutes extra. I think somebody got the timing of it wrong, or maybe I don't know what it is. But anyway, there was 9 minutes left over, and we're going to play that first, and then there will be more leftovers following it. So stay tuned.
Yeah, there likely is, Patrick. Okay, I think we've got about, what have we got? We've got about 7 minutes left. So where do you want to take it, Patrick, for the last sort of 7 or 8 minutes?
Okay, I want to ask you. So you've got new government, supposedly right-wing government in Sweden. You've got the new government in Italy. I heard that that there are certain changes. I don't know how much of a victory this is, but it was reported that the Swedish government is, dismantling their Ministry of Climate Change or whatever, and they're going to go back into nuclear power. Personally, I think nuclear power plants are just sitting ducks. I don't think they're a good idea. And, you know, as you can see, Ukraine attacking Russian nuclear power plants, that they're sitting ducks. But that's my opinion. But it does represent a policy shift. And with Giorgio Meloni refusing to allow these boats that were carrying migrants to dock in Italy. Is it symbolism or is it something real?
That's a question. I think you got both things going on. I mean, I think they have to respond to it in some way because the outrage is so vast. You know, look at what's happening in our country on the English Channel. We've got, to the expense of the British taxpayer, what, 8 million, I think, a day. You have just everybody flooding in. And there's absolute outrage against it, but the government, you know, turns a blind eye to it. And, you know, they've made a new deal with France, for example, the UK. They've added another 8 million. For the French to, stop the tide of, immigrants coming across, the channel. But it's more talk, more money for the French and more migrants. So the pressure's building, but the government does its best to try and brush it under the carpet. So you have some symbolism with people like Meloni in Italy, who I don't trust. And some of it is real because, you know, the outrage is so vast. They have to, you know, at least acknowledge it, you know, but, I don't know. I mean, I think the damage is done anyway, demographically to Europe, you know, it's just like, it's too late now, you know, so, you know, they have changed the demographics of Europe irrevocably, I believe. You know, it's like, you know, the most popular name in the UK, is it Paul or is it Stephen or is it Michael? No, it's Muhammad. And it's going to be even more Muhammad in 20 years time, you know?
Yeah, there's an awful lot. And, you know, we have to deal with reality. And of course, what is realistic now? Is it necessarily going to remain realistic in 10 years? What was realistic 10 years ago might not be realistic now. That's tough right there. And, you know, I don't know what you do, but when you've got a boat and it's taking on water, the main thing you got to do is keep it from taking on more water past the hole. It's not necessarily the time to sit around and think about, you know, the course that you're, where that boat's going to be going. You just got to keep it from sinking. And that's, sorry for the background noise. I think that's where we are right now, just trying to keep it from sinking.
Yeah. Well, if you look at the history of these lions, I mean, this is completely aberrant, what's happened in the last 50 or 60 years. And it's not a small thing, you know. They've completely, as I say, changed the demographics because, I mean, I don't know how history is going to view this. You know, unless something dramatic occurs in our favor, their future generations are going to look back at Europe as a thing of the past, you know, which was then flooded by the rest of the world, and Europe doesn't exist anymore because that's where we're headed at this rate, you know. I know that sounds depressing, but I mean, you have to acknowledge, you know, the demographic shifts. I mean, you've got an Indian prime minister. You know, when I was in Milan recently, it's multicultural, but it's multi-European culture. You fly into London and it hits you again. You may as well fly into the Middle East or India or somewhere, you know. It's just brown people everywhere, you know.
Yeah. And you fly into most American airports and it's not just that you're hit by all the people waiting in the customs line from random countries, but then you get up to the customs officers and they're from random countries.
Mm.
I remember last time I visited the State Department, I had this little Vietnamese guy telling me what to do. Last time I tried to visit my congressman in the congressional office building, I had some, I don't know where he's from, but somebody from some random country telling me I couldn't come. I've never heard of we got a pandemic going on, don't you know? And, it's sad enough to have people from random countries just flooding in. But then when they're in a position to tell you what to do, it's sad.
But
that's
the way it goes.
But
I mean,
you know, you can be distracted. You can't put the horse in front of the cart. And right now we've got to turn off that spigot, and then at that point, hopefully we'll be able to figure things out. But right now we've just got to turn off the spigot. I think we created a lot of problems for ourselves in 2016 and 2017 when we were talking about long-term solutions before we had taken care of short-term necessities. And I think that was a mistake.
How do you mean? Expand a little bit. You've got
minutes. you had people, I don't like to be like pointing fingers and naming names, people like Richard Spencer who were going around saying, oh, we're going to have an ethno state and these people just have to leave and this and that. And nobody was in a position to make any of that happen. And it didn't do us any good. You know, I don't mean to single him out in particular, but there's plenty of people who were talking like that. That whole ethno state thing,
I was about to say, you took the words out of my mouth. I remember at that time thinking, you know, my instincts were, this is all very childish, you know.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, even if we get back relative control of our society, in other words, even if we can... largely overcome the Jewish control of our society and gain back a measure of control to ourselves, you know, at that point, we'll look around. There's going to be, like in the United States, you know, you've got well over 40 million blacks. You've got like 60 million Hispanics. Some of the Hispanics are assimilable, but who knows? I mean, what's it going to look like? Is the United States going to break up? Is it not going to break up? And at this point, you know, it's really impossible to say what's going to be the viable solution because we don't even know when or even if we're going to get modicum of control where we can implement solutions. We got to we got to concentrate on what's in front of us right now.
Yes, indeed. And on that sobering note, Patrick, we have to wrap things up. Thank you very much for joining me. I will be back again next Sunday on Last Man Standing, and I will be with Richard Carey tomorrow at midday Central here on RBN again. So thank you very much again, Patrick, for joining me, and thank you for listening, everyone, and take care and God bless.
Okay, the next leftover we have is part of a Dr. Duke show from Thanksgiving, so this is a Thanksgiving leftover, part of it, some of the a highlight of our discussion about the war in Ukraine and the Jewish media's lying role in it. Enjoy.
Sorry for that long preface there, Doctor, on this Thanksgiving, but I hope that you've found it interesting, and I'd love to get your thoughts about any part of what I talked about, and I want you to talk extensively, and then we'll have a very good discussion with us, with each other about it.
The former Prime Minister of Japan, Yoshihiro Mori, he served from 2000 to 2001, and he's been a major political figure ever since. He actually ran the 2020 Olympics. He's come out very recently, and he's talked about why is Zelensky treated as a hero? He is leading his country into ruin. And he says that the reason this is happening, the reason that, you know, the Japanese people have been going, or the Japanese government's been going along with it, is because the media is not fair. And why is the media not fair? Because they're just simply translating the New York Times and CNN. And he's, you know, this is the type of thing I've been saying for a long time. He's saying the same exact same thing now, that the Japanese media is simply, they're simply relying on the New York Times version of things.
Because it's the leading paper of America, and you'd think it's the leading paper of American thought and not necessarily Jewish thought, because it's not, there's not, there's people don't know that Jews control the New York Times, which are only 1.6% of the population. Is that what you take from this?
Exactly. Now, he didn't say anything about Jews.
Right.
And to what extent Yoshihiro Mori understands Jews and Jewish power, I don't know. I couldn't say. But he did say that the one-sided, warped support for Ukraine is a result of one-sided, warped reporting about the war. And this is very important. And, you know, we've got a situation where Ukraine, it has been for months shelling a nuclear power plant in territory controlled by Russia, in territory that has been annexed by Russia, territory that Russia, you know, it's inhabited by Russia.
Russian troops are right there, by the way,
and
at the
right
plant.
There. And somehow they're supposedly shelling their own plant. You know, that you see these articles in Reuters, for instance, and it's, well, the Russians say it's the Ukrainians, but the Ukrainians say it's the Russians. So how are we supposed to know?
Yeah, how do we know?
How are we supposed to know?
Right.
Oh, they're being fair and balanced there. I mean, you know, it's so obvious. And you had the situation a week ago where the there was a missile and it strikes a farm in Poland, killing a couple of people and maybe some cows. And this was reported by the AP News as a Russian attack on Poland.
Yes.
And of course, it was not a Russian attack on Poland. It's completely clear. Even the Polish and the American governments have confirmed that the missile was fired by Ukrainians. It was not fired by Russians. And of course, even Tucker Carlson has come out and said, yeah, and Zelensky, you know, he's reported that Zelensky was trying to get the NATO to invoke Article 5 and go to war with Russia based on this. Well, it was a Ukrainian missile. It was, there was in no way was it a Russian attack on Poland. If anything, it was a Ukrainian attack on Poland, a false flag attack. And, you know, false flags, was it a false? I can't prove it was a false flag, but you can certainly prove that that Jewish governments in Israel have used false flag attacks against the United States. So would it be that strange for a Jewish government in Ukraine, because it is a Jewish government in Ukraine, to use false flag attacks? Is that something that should not at least be considered?
Yes, and the interesting thing is I've been looking at the Duran, and they had a couple of their posters or people that were doing YouTube comments on the Duran, which is a good publication, and it's a very good program with Procurus and Alexander, and it's really a good show. But they pointed out what the media later said was, it wasn't done by the Russians. We know that for sure at this point. But it was just an accident. It was just the Ukrainian supposedly anti-missile kind of an anti-aircraft or anti-defense missile, and it just accidentally fell in Poland, which is about 100 kilometers from the supposed attack was exactly the opposite direction.
100 miles, wrong direction.
Yeah, wrong direction.
That happens to me all the time.
But even they didn't say that maybe this was an intentional thing. And why indeed would Zelensky and Ukraine be shelling the largest nuclear power plant in Europe, one of the largest in the world? Why in the world would they be trying to damage this thing and cause a nuclear accident? It could be even an accident that could be to the level of a Chernobyl, which damaged Europe tremendously and damaged Ukraine tremendously, as well as damaged Russian territory at the time, which was simply a meltdown. It was an accident. It was a true accident. The Russians certainly didn't want the Chernobyl to blow up. So we have the New York Times and telling us that Zelensky's a hero. And this guy is a war criminal. This guy wants a nuclear accident, which could kill thousands, if not tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. It could affect all of Ukraine, all of Russia. It could affect all of Europe even. It could be many times worse than Chernobyl. But they feel like, well, there's going to be some damage. Maybe they don't think it'll be that bad. But they know really the truth is that they're losing this war. And now that Russia's attacking the media infrastructure, they're losing. But they want to create an image in people's minds that Ukraine is winning the war. But the truth is, Ukraine, in a real sense, already, and this war has just begun, really, now that Russia is serious about it. This war this is a war that Ukraine has already lost. Because the estimates are about 200,000 Ukrainians in the military and others have died now in this conflict, or died or injured. I'll say casualties, not just dead. Maybe a dead's a third of that. And then wounded, maimed, hurt. I mean, is this conflict then, from the standpoint of Ukrainians, is it worth just going with along with Russia that Ukraine would be neutral? I mean, when Austria, by the way, was occupied by the Russians after the Second World War, and they allowed Austria to become independent of them. And the only requirement the Russians maintained on that, you know, we'll set you free, you just serve your own government, you create your own democracy. But the only thing that we ask, if we do that, we'll relinquish this territory, we'll take our weapons out of there. The only thing we ask is that you just be a neutral country. And we'll be neutral. We're not going to bother you. We don't want our weapons in there. We're going to give you total right to control your own destiny. But we just want a neutral country. Look at all the money you're going to save on military.
You've got the magic touch.
Ooh.
It makes me glow so much.
Ooh.
It casts a spell. It rings a bell. The magic touch. Oh, when I feel your charm, it's like a four alarm. You make me thrill so much. You've got the magic touch. Here I go. Too much. Ooh. And then I felt your touch. Ooh. And now I've learned I can return the magic touch. Here I go. I didn't know. In my dreams, someone took you out of my arms. Still I feel the thrill of your charms. Lips that once were
bother you. We don't want our weapons in there. We're going to give you total right to control your own destiny, but we just want a neutral country. Look at all the money you're going to save on military. Look at all the money you're going to save. And we're not going to try to control your government. Austria has not been controlled by the Russians, obviously, since that time. And when you think about a couple hundred thousand people and families being destroyed and businesses being destroyed and educational process being destroyed and factories being destroyed and farms being destroyed. Ukrainians have already lost the war. But the people, the Jews that run Ukraine, are in service of a much greater task, just like they didn't care how many trillions of dollars of America was expended in a war against their enemy Saddam, who had some Scud missiles going to Israel. They didn't care about American money. They didn't care about American lives, American blood being spilled, a million American veterans that are suffering the effects of this war. They didn't care about that. All they cared about was striking Jewish enemies, almost like a ritual sacrifice of, you know, spending American blood and American money and a cause. And you can add that on. You can add those trillions of dollars of cost to the billions upon billions of dollars we've given in direct aid to Israel, the equivalent of $400,000 for every Israeli family. $400,000 U.S. dollars from U.S. taxpayers that could have been used Yeah, I haven't seen the president, I mean, the government of this country give any checks to our people like that. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, so yes, I mean, this, the point you're making is so powerful. But and the people in Japan, the people in Europe, people around the world, and the people in America for the great part of it, they never talk about the New York Times being totally controlled by Jewish supremacy. They never talk about that. In fact, they studiously avoid that. In fact, they constantly tell us, well, the biggest stockholder of the New York Times is Carlos Slim, who's a Mexican. They don't mention the fact that, yeah, he might be able to make some money from his stock in the New York Times, but he has no control whatsoever over editorial policy. He has no control whatsoever on any decisions the company makes. That's done by the Class B stockholders, which is a genealogical, it's just a racial designation of five Jews who are loyal to Jewish causes and who are like the other Jews since Adolf Ochs bought the New York Times back in 1895 that serve the interest of Israel and Jewish cause and can tell us and tell Americans that Zelensky is a hero instead of a war criminal, instead of a murderer of the Ukrainian people themselves and of the Russians, who actually, and his people and his Jewish power structure, both of America over the State Department with our Jewish Secretary of State, John Kerry, real name Cohen. And then we have the Jewish Secretary of State today, Blinken. And we have Jewish Victoria Nuland. And we got the Jewish major media getting this war. It's like a science fiction movie nightmare, isn't it? Right.
The thing is, it's the level of Jewish power has gotten so big. And there's so few people who really have an inkling about it that it's almost as if you cannot describe it to somebody in one go. You can't. People just aren't prepared for it. So few people have an inkling of the power of the Jews. And, you know, if you were to sit down and you have to do it in stages. You can talk about one thing at once. You know, you can talk about, oh, well, the Biden cabinet has these, six out of seven most important positions are staffed by Jews. And you could go through that and somebody might say, wow, that's something. Wow. How about that? That's kind of strange. But to go.
And then the media calls it the most diverse cabinet in American history.
Yeah,
you got 1.7% of the people being six of the seven most important cabinet positions in our government, and they're dedicated not to America, but to Israel and to Jewish
cause. Well, it's diverse. They've got, Alejandro Mayorkas, who is half Sephardic. He's a Hispanic Jew. And you've got Janet Yellen, who is like, I don't know, she like some sort of dwarf or something.
She's a Jew.
Yeah, and then you've got Blinken, who's a rock star wannabe Jew, and you've got Merrick Garland, who is just a vicious Jew, and who else do you have in there? Ron Klain, who's a hapless Jew, and
he's like the real president in a real sense, because he's the guy that controls every piece of paper that Biden signs, and
doing a real good job of it. And then you got Avril Haines, who is a sneaky Jew. So, I mean,
that's the chief intelligence advisor to the United States government and the executive branch, which can launch wars on their own. And they do it every day.
Yeah. A lot of diversity there. But my point is that you can't red pill somebody in one day. It's just too much. The cognitive dissonance is too great to span in a single day or in a single second.
Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Can tell. Oh, yes, I'm the great pretender. Adrift in a world of my own. I play the game, but to my real shame, you
all alone. Too real is this feeling of make believe. Too real when I feel what my heart can't conceal. Yes, I'm the great pretender. Just laughing and gay like a clown. I sing to be what I'm not. You see, I'm wearing my heart like a crown. Pretending that you're still around. Just laughing and gay like a clown. I seem to be what I'm not. You see, I'm wearing my heart in me. For it's true, you are my destiny.
Red pill somebody in one day. It's just too much. The cognitive dissonance is too great to span in a single day or in a single setting. You know, people, it's for most people, they just can't handle the revelations that their assumptions about the way the world works, the way the country works, are so wrong. They just simply can't. And of course, especially you've got, you know, like half or what? Well, I mean, I won't say half.
Go ahead. I lost you.
Sorry. You've got most of the country going along with it in one way or another. So you've got the liberals who have been going along with a lot of the weird stuff with, you know, Black Lives Matter and all, and they're still wearing masks and they love their, they love to post how many vaccine shots they've gotten. And then, of course, you've got another half of the country that has been, you know, that they may be evangelical Christians and they love Israel and they've been supporting Israel. People, so many people in one way or another have bought into this and have an emotional investment. And so it's really, really hard. And it's not something that can be done in one day. You can wake up people, but the thing is, when people wake up, they're really disoriented, because, well, if we've been lied to about this, what else have they lied to us about?
Yeah, that's right. We can't trust anything that we read.
You can't trust anything. And it's really,
we can't, you have to examine everything you do read, by the way.
But, you know, and I'm talking about Americans, but, getting back to Japan, Imagine the Japanese who have been subservient to United States. They think they're subservient to the United States and that the United States is a democracy and everything. For them to realize that actually they're subservient not to, you know, John Wayne and Clint Eastwood and you know, these white Americans.
That they see in the Westerns and stuff like that.
Yeah, to a Jewish country that doesn't even, you know, not that they...
And Jews look a hell of a lot different than Clint Eastwood. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. not that the rulers of America don't have Japan's best interests at heart. They don't have the American people's best interests at heart.
And yeah, you made me think of another thing, too. And you've talked about this a lot, because you really helped educate me fully. And I had these inclinations. And when you started talking to me in depth about this, because you've really studied the Orient a lot, and China and Japan and so forth. And I've studied a lot, too, but I don't know to your level. You've been very oriented toward understanding that part of the world. And you've been genius with it, right? And so it's easy to look at even China or Japan and saying, well, they're under the control of the Jews. But think of it this way. Let's just take China, for instance, with the lockdowns. Now, the only country, I just read an article here, they're the only country that's still doing a degree of lockdowns, where the whole rest of the world is not. But if you realize the situation is, first of all, the Chinese have a government that first and foremost is dedicated to the Chinese people. And they think that so their frame of reference would be that the Chinese government and the media of China is going to reflect the values of the Chinese people. And if they write something about whatever, that they're getting a real sense of China, right? But when they read the New York Times, they're not getting all the contradictory material, because there's massive material. In fact, I think most Americans now realize that lockdowns didn't save a single life. They cost a lot more lives than they cost. That masks are completely ineffective, and it didn't stop the spread of this disease, this COVID, and that the vaccines were far more deadly. And at the same time, they never, ever stopped transmission, or they stopped death or people contracting the disease. So the whole, and this was a lie from the beginning. But the Chinese, by the way, what the Chinese are still going to be reading, right, is mainstream American media, right? And like what the New York Times says, and they still say the same crap, right? Or Time Magazine or all the other major think tanks and the major powerful governmental media and the government pronunciations. They're going to read what the CDC says. So maybe the Chinese aren't just evil people doing what Jews want. They're just locking people down because the Jews are telling them to lock down or something. Maybe, just maybe, they're doing it because that's what they're getting from the supposed scientific elite of the West. And they think that this is what they need to do, just safeguard their people. And if these things work, even if they're painful, but it actually protects their lives, and they're willing to do it. What would be your take on that, for instance?
Yeah, I mean, I know enough of the Japanese elite to know that the Japanese take the data coming out of the West seriously, and then they look at their own data and say, wow, we're not having as many people die. Therefore, what we're doing is right, you know, and we're all wearing masks. We've been wearing masks. It must be the masks, so we're just going to keep wearing a lot of masks. And for the Chinese, honestly, like, I really don't think this started in China. And if it did start in China, it wasn't intentional. It obviously wasn't some sort of Chinese bioweapon, because the behavior of, you know, what they're doing, what they've done locking down their own populations from time to time, is not the behavior of somebody who develops a bioweapon to unleash on the rest of the world. That's not the way it works. So I don't think they understand. I don't think they developed it. I think it was, if it was developed by anybody, if it was man-made, which is very, very possible, it was probably in Fort Detrick or Chapel Hill.
Absolutely.
And
could be
unleashed in China.
It could have been made in Ukraine in the bio labs there that Victoria Nuland, our Jewish Undersecretary of State, you know, admitted in congressional sworn testimony.
Right. And so I think that, that you know, they took rather than like the Japanese just went full on masks, the Chinese have emphasized the lockdowns and they have this zero COVID idea that, well, we'll just not have anybody have COVID. We'll just keep it out entirely, which is a fool's errand. And I'm sorry to say that they're doing it. I think it is because they don't understand it, because they are taking seriously the data coming out of the Western countries, not understanding that it's faked or that it's unreliable at best. And then they say, well, you know, we've only had our death rate is only one tenth their death rate. So what we're doing is right. What we've been doing is locking down and having zero COVID policy. So what we're doing is right. And I think it's a fundamental misunderstanding. And I think it's because.
And maybe it's other things that maybe it's because they didn't use remdesivir, which is a very deadly drug, which they wouldn't even use for Ebola and these other things because it was so deadly. And we used it massively. So maybe they had less death rates because, because their vaccines were not as bad as our vaccines
were. Their main vaccine, the Sinovac vaccine, is a traditional vaccine. It is the same type of vaccine that has been
like
used
a flu vaccine, typically
centuries in America, in the rest of the world, whereas ours is this experimental gene therapy. So they're completely different animals.
Well, welcome back to the show. All right. So this is Leftovers, and I'm recording this the evening before Thanksgiving. Hopefully it won't be too much old news by the time you listen to this, but I want to keep up to date on, what's going on with Kanye West. So you might think he's been quiet, but actually there's some very, very interesting developments. So as you know, he announced, or he disclosed, it might be a better verb, he disclosed that he is running for president. Now, what has happened over the past 24 hours or so? Well, let's go back just a little bit further. So he announced he was running for president. Well, he didn't announce it. He was asked by a reporter. He had taken a reporter on a tour of his textile manufacturing facility. There were a bunch of women who were operating sewing machines, and then there were garments that had been completed that were saying Kanye 2024, yay 2024. I guess that's what it was, yay 2024. And so the reporter said, well, does that mean you're running for president? And he said, yeah, it does, doesn't it? And so he released this video. And the interesting thing is that at the 2 minute and 58 second mark, in the background, you see Nick Fuentes. Okay. And that wasn't entirely unsuspected. Nick Fuentes hasn't made a live stream in over a week since the Trump announcement. It's known he was in California. Well, there he was with Kanye West. Okay, so that's interesting enough. Well, then today video comes out, and it's showing Kanye West walking through Miami Airport, okay, with, on one side, his bodyguard, I presume his bodyguard, and then on the other side, Nick Fuentes. He's walking through the airport with Nick Fuentes. This is the Miami airport. Well, why did he go to Miami? Well, he went to Miami to see Donald Trump. So he went to Mar-a-Lago. I guess he went to the golf club, maybe not into the mansion itself. I don't know. I've never been to Mar-a-Lago, so I don't know. Trump never invited me. I mean, I did sneak in through the back door. Melania let me in, but I don't know about the front door aspect of it. Anyway, so Trump and Kanye West met, and this is reported. I'm going to read. This is from November 23rd, 6:10 p.m. India Standard Time. This is from the Hindustan Times. Because if you want to get the best news in the English language, you have to go to India, because our news is fake news. Anyway, Kanye West is back in the presidential race. Not shocking, but the rapper stated that he will run for U.S. president in the 2024 elections. Oh, actually, I'm sorry. Kanye West is back in the presidential race. Not shocking, but the rapper has stated that he will run for the U.S. president in the 2024 elections. As per a report by Billboard magazine, Kanye West confirmed his upcoming campaign over the weekend. In a video posted to Twitter by Red Pill Gang TV, the singer was asked by paparazzi whether he will run for the U.S. presidency again. "Yes, it's simple. It's just we're moving toward the future," he replied. The video also featured far-right political figure Milo Yiannopoulos. "This is Milo right here, working on the campaign," Kanye West said, pointing at him. Kanye West also said that he wants former U.S. President Donald Trump to be his running mate. "I can't believe I kept Donald Trump waiting. What do you guys think his response was when I asked him to be my running mate in 2024? Kanye West asked his fans on Twitter. Kanye West had earlier attempted a run for U.S. presidency in 2020, for which he launched a campaign under the Birthday Party banner. Earlier, Donald Trump announced he would seek the Republican Party nomination to contest the 2024 elections after losing to current President Joe Biden in 2020. Okay, well, there's the fake news, because we all know he didn't lose. Anyway, this is very interesting. So, from another source, I gather that he asked Trump to be his running mate. And when he was explaining this to somebody, they said, "Well, wouldn't it be a step down for President Trump to run for vice president?" And Kanye said, "No, it would be a step up." Kanye said, "I'm the better candidate. I'm against abortion and some other stuff." It does seem that they met. Now, there is some, I'm sure it's fake Jewish news, but there is some weblog blog that I've never heard of was saying that Trump is privately telling people, how do they know what he's privately saying? But he's privately telling people that Kanye is crazy and needs help. I think this is awesome. And the thing is, Trump met with Kanye, apparently. Trump met with Kanye. Did he meet with Nick Fuentes? Nick Fuentes was the only person with him at the airport besides his bodyguard. And apparently, Kanye flew economy class. Now, it might be that as a former billionaire, he feels he needs to economize. Or it may be that he just wants to be with his people. He wants to be with his people. We are his people. So, I think it's very interesting that he's traveling around with Nick Fuentes. Now, in case you don't know, Nick Fuentes is... That would be funny if Nick Fuentes was with at a meeting with Donald Trump and Kanye West. And Nick Fuentes, who's just barely 24 years old and lives with his parents, he would be the adult in the room. It's kind of funny. And I say that as a fan of both Donald Trump, a longtime fan of Donald Trump and a new fan of Kanye West. In that setting, Nick Fuentes would be the adult in the room, for sure. That's all funny. But Nick Fuentes talks openly about the Jews. And, you know, at 24, he's not going to have the depth of knowledge that someone like David Duke would have. But Nick Fuentes is very articulate, and he speaks well. And, I can tell you one thing. Donald Trump, even though I think Donald Trump's got basically good instincts, and I will say I'm a fan. Donald Trump is surrounded, has always been surrounded by horrible people. He rarely has anybody decent to talk to. And he could, talking to Kanye West and Nick Fuentes, can you imagine that conversation? Because
they asked me how I knew my true love was true. Cannot be denied. They said someday you'll find all who love are blind. Oh, let your hearts on fire. You must pray alive. Smoke gets in your eyes. So I chant them and I gaily laugh to think they could doubt.
That twilight light here in the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous beneath the blue air. In the sweet and same old way, I fall in love again as I did then. Will fill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you. Together, at last, that twilight light here in the afterglow of day. Keep our rendezvous beneath the blue air. In the sweet and simple way, I fall in love again as I did then. Deep in the dark, your kiss will thrill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you. Together, at last, at twilight time. Together, at last, at twilight time.
And, he could... Talking to Kanye West and Nick Fuentes, can you imagine that conversation? Because how would they not talk about Jewish power? How could they not talk about it when this is what, you know, Kanye West, he's in the midst of a scandal because of anti-Semitic remarks. How can they avoid talking about it? And Nick Fuentes is there. And they're going to say, of course there's Jewish power. Of course there's the Jews run the media. And, you know, Nick Fuentes, I don't know how bluntly he could talk to President Trump, but could he say, look, you know, these Jews ruined your first term. You know, who ruined it? I mean, Ivanka and Jared, first and foremost. But then he brings on people like Bill Barr as Attorney General. I mean, he brought on all sorts of... And, of course, most of the people he brought on weren't Jewish. The Trump cabinet, the Trump administration, wasn't nearly as Jewish. But it was chock full of shills. Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo. And, you know, let's face it, even though Mike Pence had been loyal, you know, he's a shill for the Jews. Maybe not quite as aggressive as Nikki Haley and Mike Pompeo. And John Bolton. I mean, look at these people he brought on. And, you know, Kanye West doesn't seem to have a filter, which is exactly what we need right now. Kanye West, he goes up on national TV, and he, instead of awarding a Grammy or Oscar to somebody, says, George Bush don't like black people. And there you go. He's going to say what he thinks. Nick Fuentes does have a filter, but I think given the opportunity to speak to Donald Trump, I don't think he's going to waste it. And so Donald Trump, who else? I mean, who in the Trump orbit is going to tell Trump, look, your first presidency, your first term was ruined by Jared Kushner and his Jewish friends and all of these shills for the Jews? It was ruined. Everything got screwed up. You did the coronavirus, you did the vaccines, you did all this stuff for Israel. You let these people I would tell them, you let these people ruin your Korean peace treaty. He had a Korean peace treaty all ready to be had, which is a big deal. It's a very big deal. And he let Mike Pompeo and Bolton scrap it. You know, it's just so many things. The immigration, just, he made so many mistakes. And these are people who one would think would be able to talk bluntly to him. So this is an interesting development where you've got Donald Trump meeting with Kanye West and we'll by the time you hear this, if you hear this on Friday, I can't confirm it for you now, but you could probably confirm it. Take a little Google search or Bing or whatever, Yandex or whatever the Indians use, and type in Trump Kanye Fuentes and see what you get. Hopefully you'll be able to confirm this. All right, well, I hope this was fun for you. This was Thanksgiving leftovers, and it was fun for me. And I look forward to coming back next week with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
You saw me standing alone, without a dream in my heart, without a love of my own. Blue moon, you knew just what I was there for. You heard me saying a prayer for someone I really could care for. And then there suddenly
dang it, dang, dang, ding it, on, ding, boom.
Oh, 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 oh.
ba bomb 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 dang 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 ding dong ding do 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 do